Man, my printer wouldn't work. I needed it urgently. I was desperate. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something, and something miraculous happened. Stay tuned to today's message.
Now for A Short Path to a Great Life, Part 4.
Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. We welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or social media. Welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight and joy to have you to tune in. Well, we'd like to share just a little humor. A lady said, "My husband wanted one of those big screen TVs for his birthday. So I just moved his chair closer to the one we have already." Well, we're doing part four, a little series entitled Short Path to a Great Life. And we did the first two parts dealing with living a life style of praise and gratitude. And then we got over into verse 2. It's only two verses in Psalms 117. We got over into verse 2, and that's what we're doing. So we're doing part 2 on that verse 2. Even though this is part 4 in the series, but this is part 2 on verse 2. Verse 2 says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us." His merciful kindness is great toward us. And that simply says to us to enjoy his love, to enjoy his love. His merciful kindness is great toward us. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He is showing you his favor. He's incredibly kind to you. You are loved, you are precious, and you are honored. We learned that over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 4. And God doesn't love you because you are special. You are special because God loves you. And so his merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness is great toward us. And this is simply saying to us to enjoy his love, to enjoy his love. There are three reasons that God loves you, three reasons that God loves you. Number one, he loves you because he is love. God is love. That's the first reason he loves you. The second reason he loves you is because he chooses to love you. It's his prerogative. Anybody remember the song by Bobby Brown years ago? My prerogative. Well, it's God's prerogative. It's God's prerogative. He chooses to love you. He is love, number one. Number two, it's his prerogative. He chooses to love you. And number three, he loves you because of a covenant. Because of a covenant that he cut with Abraham, which was further ratified actually with Christ Jesus. And we are beneficiaries of that covenant. And so because we belong to Christ, we're Abraham's seed and we are heirs according to the promise. And so it's because he is love, because he chooses to love us, and it's because of a covenant. God has covenanted himself to us in a covenant of love. He's covenanted himself to us in a covenant of love. And so we're to enjoy his love. We're to enjoy the wonders of his love, enjoy the richness of his love, enjoy the power of his love, enjoy the comfort of his love, enjoy the closeness of his love, enjoy the tenderness of his love. Listen to this. You can hear the closeness and the tenderness of his love. Listen to this verse. This is John chapter 14, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus's bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And that was the Apostle John. So John was just leaning there right on his bosom. The Bible says whom Jesus loved. So you can see the closeness, you can see the tenderness there. That's actually a picture of us. It's a picture of us. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11 that he carries us in his bosom the way a shepherd carries a lamb. And so you're actually carried in his bosom the way a shepherd carries a lamb. And I want you to picture that for a moment. Picture a shepherd carrying a little lamb right there, right in his arms, right up against his chest. That little lamb can hear his heartbeat. That little lamb is so secure. That little lamb is so protected. That little lamb doesn't have a care in the world because he's carried by the good shepherd. And so he carries us in his bosom the way a shepherd carries a lamb. Praise God, praise God. So we enjoy the richness of his love. We enjoy the wonders of his love, the power of his love, the comfort of his love, the closeness of his love. Enjoy the vastness of his love, the vastness of his love. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, the prayer is for us that we might know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That we might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That's a prayer for us. And so by him giving these dimensions, it's expressing the exceeding greatness of his love, that you might know the height of it, the depth of it, the length of it, the width of it, the breadth of it. It's saying that his love is higher than heaven, it's deeper than hell, it's longer than the earth, it's wider than the sea. You start seeing a picture of the vastness of his love, the vastness of his love. When you talk about these dimensions, the breadth of his love, that means that it extends to all ages. Whether you're 10, whether you're 50, whether you're 90, the breadth of his love, it extends to all ages. Extends to all ages. It extends to all nations. Doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Japanese, Russian, America. That love extends to all nations. It extends to all classes. Doesn't matter if you're middle class. Doesn't matter if you're upper class. Doesn't matter. It extends to all classes. Praise God. Because of his love, we're all upper class. I said, because of his love, we're all upper class. Praise God. So that's the breadth. And then the length of his love signifies that it's from everlasting to everlasting. It's everlasting, it's eternal, it's everlasting. It's a covenant love. It's a love that won't fail. There's no end to it. It's unfailing. It's steadfast. It's a covenant love. God said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, covenant love, a steadfast love, an unfailing love. It never stops. It never ends. And so that's the length of his love, from everlasting. You want to know how long God's love is? It's from everlasting to everlasting. That's how long his love is. From everlasting to everlasting. When did it begin? From everlasting. When will it end? Everlasting. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's eternal. There is no end to it. That's his love. That's the length of his love. And then the depth of his love. The depth of his love. His love stoops down to the lowest condition, and it pulls a person out of sin, out of depravity, pulls a person that's depressed, person that needs relief, that needs rescuing. His love reaches down, picks us up out of the depths. That's the depth of his love. It stoops to the lowest condition, to those of us who have sunk to the lowest level because of sin and misery and all of these things. His love stoops down. It's the reason Jesus spent so much time with those who were down and out, with the outcasts. He said, that's the very reason I came. That's his love. Love came down, and it reached right down into the depths. Reached right down to the depths. I love that. It reached right down into the depths of our sin and our most deplorable conditions. It picks us up. That's his redeeming love. That's his redeeming love. And so that's the breadth of his love, the length of his love. That's the depth of his love. And then the height of his love is entitlement. That's the love that raises us with Christ and seats us together with him in heavenly places. It's the height of his love. So it goes from the depths of sin, places us to the height of being seated with Christ. Yes. And so you begin to know that we might know the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of his love. Praise God. Yes. Listen to this. You can also hear this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. There it is again. Remember in our opening text, Psalms 117, verse 2, his merciful kindness is great toward us. Here's that word great again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Watch this, toward us. Psalms 117, 2, his merciful kindness is great toward us, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He is present tense. He is showing us the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's happening right now, and it'll happen all throughout eternity. He'll be showing you the riches of his grace in his kindness toward you. His merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness is great toward us. Man, that's a great scripture to remind yourself of and to say every day. I started just, whenever I find myself in a situation, I just start saying, his merciful kindness is great toward me. His merciful kindness is great toward me. Whenever I have sinned, and whenever I've missed the mark, or whenever I feel bad, or I feel beat up, or I just feel unworthy, I'll yell out, his merciful kindness is great toward me. It's sort of like the beggar, the blind Bartimaeus. I begin to think, I said, maybe Bartimaeus knew this verse. Maybe Bartimaeus knew Psalms 117, verse 2. His merciful kindness is great toward us. And maybe that's why Bartimaeus, when he heard Jesus was passing by, maybe that's why he yelled out, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Maybe he knew that verse. Maybe he had heard it. Maybe he had heard it in Sunday school, or maybe he'd heard it as a child. But he knew, maybe he knew that his mercy is great toward us.
Yes.
And he just yelled out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says Jesus stood still when he heard that. He stood still. Jesus was walking. Keep in mind, Jesus was walking with pace. When he yelled out, the Bible says Jesus stood still. Why? His mercy is great toward us. That was somebody calling on his mercy. And somebody calling on his mercy. Learn to call on his mercy. His mercy is great toward you. His mercy is great toward you. His mercy is great toward you. The Holy Spirit gave me a little acronym for the word great. G-R-E-A-T, great. The G is God's goodness. The R is reaching out to you. The E is every day. The A is at all. And the T is times. God's goodness is reaching out to you every day at all times. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. The Holy Spirit gave that to me. That's an acronym for his merciful kindness is great towards you. God's goodness is reaching out every day at all times.
Amen.
It's reaching out to you every day at all times. God's goodness is reaching out to you every day at all times. His merciful kindness is great. Notice this. It could have simply said that his merciful kindness is toward us. Now, that would have been good if it had just said his merciful kindness is toward us. That's good. I'll take that. I'll take that any day. His merciful kindness is toward us. But it didn't say that. It said his merciful kindness is great toward us. It's great toward us. There's another scripture that gives a picture of this merciful kindness, how the greatness of it. Psalms 103, verse 11. It speaks of the vastness of God's mercy toward us. And it actually says, "As for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great," there's that word again, "so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." As far as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. How far is the heaven above the earth? You ever thought about that? Because this says, as far as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us. It's using an illustration there. I remember hearing this little fact that if you took a newborn baby, and put the baby in a little capsule, and if you shot that baby toward the sun at 100 miles per hour, by the time the baby lands on the sun, traveling at 100 miles per hour, from the time he's born, traveling at 100 miles per hour toward the sun, the baby would be 100 years old when it lands. That's how far just the sun is above the earth. I did the math on that. It actually comes out, the baby would actually be 105. The baby would be 105 years old, leaving the earth, traveling to the sun at 100 miles per hour. That's how far the sun is above the earth. Heaven is higher than the sun. I was just trying to give you something to measure it, but I'm trying to give you some measure. Now, let's just say if you drove your car toward the sun, and let's say you did 60 miles per hour, It'll take you 177 years to reach the sun. Now, some of you drive a little faster than 60. Some of you would be stepping on it. So you could probably knock it down from 177 years. Clayton said he would knock it down to about 150 years. Even if you took an airplane flight, if you got on Delta and said, take me to the sun, even an airplane going 550 miles per hour, 600 miles per hour, take you 19 years to reach the sun flying Delta. That's how vast. That's just a picture from the earth to the sun. The Bible says, as far as the heaven is above the earth, so great is my mercy towards you. In other words, it's basically saying it's not measurable. It's infinite. You can't measure the greatness of my mercy towards you. You can't measure it. You can't measure. There are no dimensions for it. It's unimaginable, incomprehensible. That's why the Bible says that he prayed that we might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That you might, how can you know something that passes knowledge? The only way you can know something that passes knowledge is to experience it. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, I pray that you have an experience with this love. And God gives us an experience with this love. And this is when I gave you three things. I say you have to first, you believe the love. You believe that love. That's in 1 John 4:16. Believe the love. Believe the love. The second thing I told you, I said, look for small expressions of his love. This is where you begin to experience it. Look for small expressions of God's love every day. Sometimes you can feel it as if he's holding you or hugging you. You can feel his embrace. You can feel such a calm delight, such a peaceful delight on the inside. You can feel his presence. And so you look for small manifestations. You look for small manifestations of his love every day. You start doing that. Recently, I'm always looking for these small manifestations of God's love. So recently, every day, I'm looking for them. And recently, I was at home and I was working on a project and I needed to print something off in a hurry. The other party was waiting on the document. I needed to sign it with wet ink. So I had to print it off to sign it with wet ink. And I needed my printer urgently. It was an urgent transaction. They needed it immediately. I went to my printer. My printer cut on, but it wouldn't function. The light was on, the screen was on, but there were no words on the screen. So normally it'll have, you can see words on the screen, you know, like ready to print. So the light was on, but there were no words on the display. So the light was just a lit up blank screen. And so, me being the savvy technical person that I am, I'm just teasing. I'm not a techie at all, I'm just teasing. I did what anyone would do. I cut it off and cut it back on to see if I could reboot it, reset it. The light was on, but the screen was still blank. I said, I'll take it a step further. I'll unplug it. I unplugged it. Plugged it back in. I said, surely that'll reboot it. If I can cut off the power source to it and then restart it, that'll reboot whatever's wrong with this thing. I did that. Still, the light was on, the screen was blank. I got inside, changed the cartridge. I did everything I humanly knew to do to get this thing to work, because keep in mind, my clock is ticking. I must get this document printed off so I can sign it with wet ink to get it back to the other party that's waiting to execute something. And then in my frustration, I felt I don't know, all of a sudden, I just felt unknowing to do this, but all of a sudden, I just tapped the printer, and while I tapped it, I said, in the name of Jesus, you work, you print. The moment I said that, all the print came back on the screen. It started printing my documents, and it's been working ever since. Isn't that good? I said, oh, man, that's just a, and I said, man, that's a small expression. God just winked at me. God winked at me. He said, I got you. And he said, man, he said, only of my children will start using the authority that they have in my name. We forget sometimes that we have authority. We forget sometimes we have the name of Jesus. We forget sometimes the authority we have as believers. He said, only if my people, man, will start walking in the authority. You all don't realize, but Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. You're in him. He's in you. He's given us the authority of his name. And it was the most miraculous thing. My wife and daughter came home later, and they couldn't believe it. They've been printing ever since. And they said, the printer is working. It has everybody scratching their head because everybody knew the printer wasn't working. Everybody's scratching it, and it's still working. My printer is working by the power of God. Isn't that good? The printer is working by the power of God. The printer is working by the power of God. Oh, man. The printer is working by the power of God. Man, but that was a manifestation of his love toward me for that day. That was just a small expression of his love. He winked at me. He winked at me. Praise God. Man, I got so excited over my little printer. Let me tell you. I'm going to give y'all a little secret. I'm going to tell y'all something that preachers do. Preachers have a tendency to embellish stories. I've been guilty of it along with other preachers. We embellish stories. We like to make them sound a little bit more dramatic. We like to draw emphasis to certain things. Like to be a little bit more thematic and cinematic. So we have a tendency to embellish stories. I did no embellishing on this story. That printer works just as I said. The story is just as I gave it. The moment I tapped and I said, in the name of Jesus, you print, everything came on and started working fine. Been working ever since. This is a printer that had been down for a while. It had been down for a while. I've been working ever since without fail. And it's just a simple sign to say, by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the authority in Christ Jesus, my love is released into your life. My love is released into your life. Praise God. Praise God. So don't be afraid to use your authority. Don't be afraid. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And there are things that heaven has already authorized us because he's given us his name. We're already authorized. He's given us his name. He's given us his blood. What else you want from him? He's saying carry out and operate the same way I did. I'm in you. You're in me. You have my name. You have my presence. You have my spirit. Operate in the earth the same way that I operate it. Praise God. And so it was just a simple reminder. It's a simple reminder that Jesus lives on the inside of us. There's authority and there's power in that name. There's authority and there's power in that name. All of his love has been released in that name. All of his grace has been released in that name. All of his goodness has been released in that name. Praise God. I'm happy about my little printer, man. I love my little printer. I love my little printer. It's just a testimony of God's grace. It's a testimony of God's goodness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, begin to lay hands on some things and command it in Jesus' name. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. He's given us that authority. He's given us that authority. How many believers are walking in it? How many believers are releasing it and using it? You'd be surprised. When we get to heaven, you're going to find out all the things that you were entitled to that we never used. Well, you're not going to get there under my teaching, because I'm going to let you know what you're entitled to. Praise God. I'm going to teach the rest of my life letting you know what belongs to us as believers, as children of God. And so when you get to heaven and you see the long list of things that we were entitled to, you're like, yep, I was walking in that. Yep, I used it. Yep, see, Elijah preached it. Praise God. Praise God. I forgot to say this, and the Holy Spirit just reminded me. When I was telling you about his merciless great toward us as far as the heaven is above the earth, I want you to see something. His mercy is great toward us as far as heaven is above the earth. The very next verse in Psalms 103 says, as far as the east from the west, he separated our sins. He gives us the dimensions of his love. It's the cross. As far as heaven is above earth, he separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. So the dimensions of God's love is measured in the cross. Praise God. The Holy Spirit didn't want you all to go without me telling you that. Oh, man, it's measured in the cross. It's measured in the cross, even though you can't measure the height and the depth and the width and the length of it. It's in the cross. It's in the cross. It's in the cross. It's in the cross. His love, his great love for us is in the cross. Praise God. Those of you who are watching by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this entire series absolutely free of charge. You can also email it to a friend. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part four of the series titled A Short Path to a Great Life. By C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 3065. That's 3065. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 3065 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the word.
From Brothers of the Word.